Kia ora, greetings everyone. It's good to be in front of you again. Nō mai, haere mai ki tōna ahurewa tapu. So welcome to this special place for our special service. Today is one of those trad days, so I'm going to do some very traditional things. It's one of those special Sundays in many ways. But first of all, thanks Andrew and Suzanne for the amazing work that Sudan does, setting up the PowerPoint and whatever. So today is actually the last Sunday of the church year. It's the Sunday before Advent. So next week is the first day of the church year, and we go into Advent with the Advent candles, the Advent wreath, that sort of stuff, as we get ready for Christmas. But it also talks about the second return of Jesus as well. Today, as the last Sunday of the church year, has some traditional themes, and one of those is it's called Stir Up Sunday, and it's called that so the minister can get you all stirred up. And of course, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to do that. Yay! As we look forward to Christmas and the second coming of Christ, so let's pray together this gathering prayer. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, they may by you be richly rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's also known as Aotearoa Sunday, but it's also noted as a time, especially in the Anglican Church, for ordinations people who have put themselves forward are ordained as deacons or as priests. And as you heard, that's usually done on or near St. Andrew's Day, the 30th of November, which is coming up. My first ordination was in St. Mary's here 22 years ago this week on the 22nd of November. That's quite special. And at 8 o'clock I was talking about Murray, the friend that I was ordained with there. Right. But the main theme for the Sunday before Advent is Christ the King Sunday. And that's why all our songs and the things that we've done so far have alluded to Christ the King. So I'm not going to do anything radical or sort of personal this week. Instead, it's very much traditional, and there's some heavy theology in it, so we're going back to Revelation, but the great passages of Revelation as well, as we look at Christ as King in the past, in the present, in the future. But first, I want to take you back to your childhood days and the idea of a traditional king. So let's think about a king. So he has a kingdom, and he lives in a palace, and he sits on a throne. Maybe, I don't know if he's that grumpy, but still. And he wears a crown, and he carries a scepter or rod or staff as a symbol of his authority. He is full of, he wears royal robes, and he has absolute power of life and death over his subjects. And if you think about it, so does Jesus have absolute power of life and death over us. He has a sense of majesty and awe about him, and is honoured by his people. May have a queen. And everyone should be on their best behaviour around him. Imagine if Queen Elizabeth II was here amongst us this morning, that everyone, even John Cook and Paul, would be on their best behaviour, wouldn't they? Eh? And there'd be this sense of awe, and there wouldn't be sort of idle chatter, just this awe at who she is and whatever. Maybe that's the way church should be. Who knows? Anyway, let's focus on Christ the King Sunday. And the sentence for today, which comes from Revelation, and you'll hear this later on, blessing and honour, glory and might to the one who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now that's going to come up again and again and again over the next few minutes as we follow this. But let's have a look at this gathering prayer. Let's say this together. Father God, you have established your Son as the only King and Shepherd of all people to build from all the painful events of history your kingdom of love. Increase within us the certainty of faith so that we may look forward to that day when, having destroyed our final enemy, death, Christ will hand over to you the work of redemption, that you may be all in all, for Christ lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Right, I'm going to read the first reading, and it comes from St. John's book of Revelation. It's on page 1913. The version I read may be slightly different, but you'll hear some of these ideas that are going to crop up again and again just to reinforce you what Christ the King Sunday is about. So starting at verse 4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So you heard in that reading mention of the seven spirits, and that's another name for the Holy Spirit. And the number seven symbolises perfection or completion. So that's really appropriate. And you may have heard in there as well the words of that great Christmas carol. Well, it's really thinking about the second coming. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Every eye shall behold him. So Jesus is portrayed as an all-powerful king, victorious in battle, glorious in peace. He's not just a humble earthly teacher, he's the glorious God. When you read John's description of the vision, keep in mind that his words are not just good advice, they're truth from the King of Kings. Don't just read his words for their interesting and amazing portrayal of the future. Let the truth about Christ penetrate your life, deepen your faith in him, and strengthen your commitment to follow him, no matter what the cost. So, in that reading, St. John, who has the vision, is announcing the return of Jesus to earth. The second coming will be visible and victorious. All people will see him arrive. Every eye shall now behold him. And they will know it is Jesus. When he comes, he will conquer evil and judge people according to their deeds. He is the Alpha and the Omega. First and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He'll be first and last. He'll be the beginning and the end of all things. Who was and is to come. And Jesus is our great high priest. A priest represents us to God. And whenever this communion, you see Paul or Wynne or whoever's doing it, lift up the communion to God, like lifting up a sacrifice before the Lord. But being human, the priest is a sinner as well, just like you. And so when he or she is leading the communion and leading the confession, that's on behalf of all of us, but also on behalf of the priest as well, so that I get to confess my sins and seek God's forgiveness. So the sacrifice is on behalf of the priest as well. But Christ is our great high priest. Being sinless, he offered himself as the sacrifice. He was lifted up on the cross for our forgiveness. Jesus laid down his life for us. Interesting that in the Old Testament, the altar in the tabernacle in the temple was made of wood but covered in bronze. And therefore, to be an altar had to have bronze and wood. Think of the cross. The interesting thing that archaeologists have recently discovered is nails made of bronze. So there's the bronze on the wood. So Jesus is both high priest and the sacrifice as well at the same time. And you'll actually hear that in one of the songs we're going to sing later on. On Ascension Day, Jesus went back to heaven. And it's good that he did, because there in heaven, he is our advocate, our lawyer. When he presents the case for the defence, and we've heard a lot of that this week, our case, he presents our case, he's on our side, he's our lawyer. And God the Father sees Jesus' blood and sees Jesus' righteousness. And so he sees each of us as being righteous. We're made righteous by Christ appearing for us. And so Jesus is there in glory, and by his humanity, he takes us there, that is, if we want to be there. Jesus knew he had this lawyer job to do for us. And so in his place here on earth, he sent the Holy Spirit. And that, of course, came at Pentecost for the first time. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. He has great power and gives that to us. But we tend only to use even a small whisper of it. Christ, as sovereign over all, is in charge of the church and is there to guide and direct and to bring hope and joy to the church. Listen to what Jeremiah wrote in chapter 23. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Our Wednesday Bible study group has been looking at God's promise to David to build him a house or a dynasty, which of course leads to Jesus. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 7, which is probably the most powerful or most important book of the whole Old Testament. It's also recorded in Chronicles, which is the Judah story of that. Okay, let's go to Daniel. And what an amazing book that is. It's 12 chapters. And the first six are the great stories. The story of the four young men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and Daniel. And Daniel interpreting the dream. And those three guys thrown into the fiery furnace. And the handwriting on the wall. And Daniel in the lion's den. That's the first six chapters. But the next six chapters are very mysterious and link in with Revelation and the visions of the end time. And the really interesting thing about Daniel chapter 7 and onwards is that it says Daniel's given the command from God, seal everything up until end times. And it's really interesting that with computers now, we're able to list the whole of Jewish scriptures in one long line, and then by the computer to pull out every seventh one, every seventh letter or whatever. And there's amazing prophecies. Those of you, if you get hold of the book, the Bible Code, or there are quite a few like that around, there are amazing prophecies. And scholars reckon that that's what God is talking to Daniel about. Seal it up until end times, till you've got the means to interpret it. Amazing. How close is end times? Who knows? Well, so listen to this. The prophecies in there. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. And you'll hear words that you'll recognize in this. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, one of the old names for God, and was led into his presence. He was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it will not pass away. You're going to sing that later on. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The song, Ancient of Days. Okay, let's go to the gospel for today, Matthew's version of events. So, the cross, 3 days, the resurrection, and then 40 days after Easter, Jesus spends teaching his disciples. Thanks. Thanks, Sandra.
Chapter 28. Starting to read at verse 16, which you can find on page 1550, if you're following along. And it's the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age."
Thanks, Sandra. So you can hear those same thoughts coming through. First of all, I have to go back or I'm going to get executed next week. My friend Suzanne, when we put the PowerPoint together, she came across this, and since it's so nice, she wanted to put it up there. As well, while I'm on that, something I should have done at the beginning. Welcome, Pauline. Good to have you here. And Marie, welcome. Okay, so so Jesus rose and went into heaven and left them to it. Imagine that. Jesus gone, 11 disciples to carry the message and change the world. And think what failures they were. There's Peter and there's Thomas and guys like that. But look what happened. They didn't actually fail. And it's the same for us. Jesus puts his mission in our hands. It's all up to you. It's all up to us. That command in Matthew is, it's up to you. We're all ministers. Go, preach, make disciples, baptize. You go and do it. And he says, "Lo, I'm with you always." Right to the end of time. So, where's Jesus now? Okay, sitting at God's right hand. And we've got, St. Paul talks about, the spirit world is unseen. We live in a physical world and tend to ignore the spirit world. But St. Paul in 2 Corinthians writes, we fix our eyes not on what is seen but on the unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and will pass away, but the unseen is eternal. So this physical world is for us a time of preparation for eternity, and we need to use our time well. Let's explore this spirit world. I want to take you to the holy court of God. And we're able to do that because of the writings of St. John in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, they're two great praise chapters. The people and the angels are gathered before the throne. And God is told, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Chapters 4 and 5 have a common theme of worship and adoration. They give a vision of the glory of God and of Christ, and especially of Christ as the Lamb. And that ties in with Passover. And if you think of Moses and the back in Egypt and the instruction to kill a lamb, perfect lamb, and to keep the blood, and the blood's painted on the doorposts, and the blood of the lamb saves them. And that's the way it is with us, because the blood of the lamb shed on the cross saves us. And so the Lamb of God is one of those traditional images for today as Christ as King, King and Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb, all those images that are a bit hard for us to understand, but that's what they all sort of merge into. It's about God's glory and second coming and all that sort of stuff. The Lamb is worthy in Christ. So, I want to have a look at chapter 5 of Revelation. And it begins with one of the very powerful angels being in tears. He's really upset because there's a scroll and it has to be opened and there's no one worthy to do it. Who's going to do it? So, who's my reader? Oh, again. Oh, yippee. So, let's see what's going to happen.
Yep, we're in Revelation chapter 5 on page 1918, and I'm beginning to read at verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the centre of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever."
Thanks, Sandra. And you music buffs will recognise a lot of the words of the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, in that. Okay, let's sum up. Listen to this. On Ascension Day, we're given this amazing gift, an unparalleled resource that Jesus offers to us as followers. Before the cloud received him from sight, he gives us that command that we heard in the Matthew reading, and told that he will be with us always. Ascension Tide is the festival of the omnipresence of Jesus, always with us, and afterwards wherever his followers are. We encounter Jesus in our daily prayers and in our daily walk. We encounter him particularly when we come together in his name. St. Paul never tires of telling us that we're called to the closest possible relationship with him. He describes it as being in Christ. We're his body. We're not only to receive his healing influence, but to channel it into the world. As St. Paul says, we're to be the body of Christ. And more important, or one of the best illustrations, comes from St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks out his compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. That's talking to you. Yeah. So everything sort of flows from Jesus going back to heaven in the Ascension. You may feel that your own resources are pathetic, but when God calls you to involvement in his ministries, your first reaction may well be that you can't do it. But remember, you know who it is who empowers you. Remember that Jesus is with you, he's with you, and you have that promise. Listen to the great psalm, part of which we've already sung in The King of Glory. This is Psalm 24. This is a great psalm. And imagine them in the temple. The earth is the Lord's and all that's in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from God and vindication from the Lord their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. And the psalm ends with, and has with the term Selah, and it also has that in the middle, and a lot of other psalms have that, and it just means, hey, stop and think about it for a minute. Think about what you've just heard or what you've just read. Have a think. Meditate on what's just been said. The King of Glory will come into you. It's important that we do that. Okay, musicians, Ta. I want you to stay seated. Oh, yeah, thanks, Jasmine. Stay seated, and we're going to sing the grand old hymn, Hallelujah, Sing to Jesus, and think about the words as you sing. And again, you'll get the same images coming through. So, here we go. Finally, listen to this reading from the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verses 17, 12 to 17. Oh, again, you're busy.
So we're right at the end of Revelations. Verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life.
Thanks, Sandra. You would have heard in that reading mention of the tree of life. And that takes us back to Genesis 3 in the fall and Adam and Eve eating from the tree of life that they were forbidden to. And that ban has stayed on people until the end of time. But the promise in there is that you and I will eat from that very same tree that Adam and Eve were banned from. But we will be allowed. Isn't that exciting? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are King. You are sovereign. You rule. You reign. We acknowledge you as our leader. Our lives have patches of light and darkness. Lord, we hand the darkness to you. Help us to stand and fight in your name. Because you overcome. You reign. And we claim your victory for ourselves right now over the things that we struggle with. We give them to you, Lord, right now. We offer to you all our thoughts over the last hour. You are Lord, you are holy, you make us holy. We worship you, we give you our praise, we honour you. We stand in your name and claim your victory for ourselves. Lord, we overcome because of you. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We honour you, Lord. Thank you that you know our name, that you know us, that you love us. And so we receive your blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen.